Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back for a brand new edition of Collider Forces. An edition of Collider Forces that's very special for a number of reasons. First, I get to welcome Kelvin Harrison Jr. and Aaron Pierre to the show. I'm a big fan of you both. You know that.
I'm a big fan of you.
Likewise.
This is the very first time we're doing a two-on-one version of the show, so that's going to be something special. And then on top of that, this is the first time we're recording an episode of the show out of a film festival.
Whoa.
So I'm going to take a moment to thank the kind people at Filmio for making this happen and allowing Collider to be at Sundance to support indie filmmaking. Filmio is breaking barriers by putting the power to greenlight films in the hands of fans and creators. So if you're interested in learning more and joining their community, check out their website, film.io. All right, I didn't warn you guys. The first part of Collider Forces is a little bit of a game. It's called Dicey Questions. Usually it involves a dice tower. The dice tower did not come to Park City. So I've got eight numbers here between the two of you, because you'll both answer the same questions. Pick three, and then I'll ask you the random question it's associated with. So who wants to pick the first number?
Three.
My lucky number. I like this one too. This is an easy one. This is new skill. If you had the opportunity to learn a new skill or about a different profession through a role, what would you choose and why?
Cooking. I want to be a chef.
Get on the bear.
I know, that's what's happening right now. So I hope everyone's watching. I would like to be there. I'm willing to go in person in an audition, whatever we need, but I would like to cook.
Do you have any cooking skills now, or would you be like me, where I would be starting from scratch if anyone taught me?
I'm like not terrible, but I'm not like...
Kelvin can cook. He's cooked for me before, and it was fantastic.
This is so sweet, thank you.
But he's gonna be modest and say he's starting out, but he can cook.
You know, okay. Yeah. But you know, that's a dream.
I believe this.
Thanks,
hey. Have it for you, Aaron.
I'd love to learn the piano. So maybe a role that involved portraying a pianist in some capacity, that would be cool.
This one can help you with that.
He certainly can. Yeah, I'd love that, just to be able to have that as an alternative way to express myself artistically. That'd be dope.
Classical or jazz?
Both.
Beautiful. That's a well-balanced musician.
That's a good answer right there. All right, what is your second number?
Seven.
That's a good number. Okay, seven's a fun one too. It's wrap gifts. What is the best wrap gift you've ever received or given after making a movie or show?
I want to say notebooks. Notebooks are always great because I'm like, I love the memory of like a production and having it like labeled with like the name of the movie or something. And then I use them so often because we're constantly journaling and prepping and working. And so they're so useful and they just look so special. They like, you put them in your office and they just look so special. And you're like, well, what's this?
Do you keep them? Like when you fill up a notebook, do you store them and save them?
We were just talking about this last night. We keep all of our, well, I don't know.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. We keep them.
I love that. I'm a big
for
I'm
like
a big saver.
Nostalgic
I like the
purposes primarily, but like, you know, definitely. I think my favorite rap gift is things like this, really. I'm a simple man. Just like things like mugs. I drink a lot of hot beverages, so it will get many uses. So that sort of thing is for me, really.
I feel like you could run up and down Main Street after this and collect all the mugs. You could take a Filmio mug with you. All right, you have one more pick. Who's given me the last number?
Go ahead, bro.
Four.
Four. This is fun. Number four is would you rather. Would you rather have to fake sneeze or fake vomit in the scene?
Fake vomit.
Fake sneeze.
Can you do a convincing fake sneeze?
Knock.
Oh!
That was terrible.
I thought that was good. I was honestly scared.
Good too.
And it was gross.
The fact that it's fake puts me at ease.
Right.
Did you pick vomit because you can fake sneeze?
I don't know. I don't think I could do that. Like he just did that. I just like the whole like oatmeal and the thing and drinking
you like
it.
That.
I don't know.
I feel like people think it's gross, so then they pick fake sneeze, but then I'm like, well, can you fake sneeze? And they're like, oh shit, that's hard. So now I have to vomit.
Yeah, true. I don't know. The sneeze is hard. It's the achoo.
Put you in a comedy and then you could do your sneeze.
Exactly.
I like this idea. All right. We're into the meat of our conversation now. So going back to the very beginning, when you first recognized the dream to become actors, what did you think was step one to making that dream a reality? And now having done it, would you recommend that first step to an aspiring actor out there? Or did you find something more effective along the way?
I think for me, it was I thought I just needed an agent. But I was like, if I get an agent, then they're going to see what's going on here. Like, they're going to see what I'm ready for this. And then I was like, okay, cool. You got an agent, but like, do you have any skills? So then it was like, it was actually taking a class and studying and reading and watching films. Cause I didn't even really watch that many movies. I was like, I watched a lot of Disney Channel. And so everything that was going to come out of me was a lot of like, it was big and it was exciting. And it's kind of still my personality. but yeah, I just thought I just needed representation as if that was the key to success.
Yeah, I think for me, there's no right or wrong way to embark on the journey of an artist or whatever. But for me personally, I wanted to study. So I just studied, you know, all of these wonderful playwrights and practitioners. And I had a wonderful time doing it, you know, learning, relearning, and just trying things out. Yeah.
Who is someone you've studied frequently over the course of your career, but then can you also name someone you discovered recently that has helped add new tools to your acting toolkit, so to speak?
I spent a lot of time observing and studying Stanislavski. And as of recently, Michael Chekhov, he is very much about the physical and the extremities of your body and how that can complement your research and development for a character.
I have a follow-up for you too, Calvin, because you brought up representation, and I feel like that's something that we don't talk about nearly enough, and it's so important to find the right people to represent you and represent you the way that you want, where it's not about finding a safe space to get opportunities in the industry, but a place to get the opportunities that you want, where they're willing to be bold and support your goals. So when you found the right representation, what qualities did you see in them that convinced you, like, these are the right people to back me and my ambitions?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the first thing is just like, who's interested in actually getting to know me as a person, you know what I mean? Because this is a business about humanity and we're telling stories about humans and people. So I'm like, okay, are you curious to know where I come from, who I am, what my parents were like, what's my journey, what am I looking for, what did I dream of, what do I still dream of, what I dream of as a kid? And then likewise, I want to hear about what their trajectory is and also what they're excited about. And if we can find a lot of commonalities, then I think that we can build something together. So it's a lot of like, who wants to build with me? But yeah, and listen, I got the best manager ever. He's over there right now filming me like a proud uncle.
Yeah. I love talking about stuff like that. Those people need to be in the spotlight more than they are. All right, to get into some titles now, of all of your earliest projects, whether it's a TV or film, which one would you credit with putting into focus most the types of stories you would want to go on to tell and also the types of onset environments you would want to be a part of?
Can I choose more than one?
Oh, absolutely.
I would say The Underground Railroad, which was helmed by Big Bro, Barry Jenkins, and also Brother, which was helmed by Clement Virgo.
I need more people. We were literally just talking about this before you came in. More people need to see Brother. I was on a plane the other day and I saw, like, I was looking over people's shoulders because I'm a creep on planes and I love looking at what people are watching. And someone was watching Brother and it just, like, it made me happy. But more people need to see it.
I appreciate you. You've been advocating for us since before it even premiered. So we appreciate you. You know, it's the journey of an independent film, and, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, we need to keep independent films and independent creatives, keep that alive and give that space. You know, we need to give that space. It brings balance to the world. You know what
so
I mean?
So true.
Cinema universe.
The cinematic universe.
That's my kind of cinema universe. All right, Calvin, what about for you? An early project that put into focus what you want in terms of the stories you tell and the people you work with?
I think Loose was a big one for me. I just really loved working with Julius, and I just love this expansive narratives of, like, what it meant to be a young African-American kid or black person or person of color in the U.S. and what that meant. And I'm always trying to pick roles that kind of make me understand me better and how I operate in the world. And also I think helps people understand me and what their relationship to a storyteller of my, you know, background is like. And that was a big one. But yeah.
It's a great example. Sat at this table, what was it, 2019? Yes. Talking about that movie. It was one of my favorite movies of the festival that year. Two follow-up questions. I'll stick with Loose first. And it's kind of not a question. It's me asking you two to do my job for me, because I think about this often. One of the last times we spoke, you told me something that you wish was brought up in more actor interviews. And it's a question that I ask frequently. And then Marcia Stephanie did it again, she brought something up and I repeat these questions over and over. So I'm going to make you do that work again. What do you wish that actors had the opportunity to talk about more in these kinds of interview settings? What do you wish you could hear other people, you know, express how they experienced a certain part of the filmmaking process?
Wow.
You asked the best question.
I feel like I could have worded that one better, but
that was
thanks.
Awesome.
Okay. Do you remember what the one you told me was?
No, what was
I vividly remember both of these. Yours was you wanted more people to talk about what it means to be number one on the call sheet when you're surrounded by acting icons. It was for Luz.
Oh,
and then Marcia Stephanie during our Q&A spoke about, like, the hostess tray and thinking it was like a filmmaking tool. And ever since then, I ask people, what is this seemingly silly question about the way movies are made that you wish you had the courage to ask about, rather than just pretending like you know something, but you could have asked and learned more sooner.
Right.
I think I might want to learn a bit more how other creatives balance work and personal life.
Mm.
I think arguably that isn't directly connected to the product, the work itself, but I think that would be invaluable to not only myself, but I think so many people, learning how people we admire and respect and look up to, how they balance it, how they navigate that, because it's not always simple. It's not always straightforward.
So true. This one also, I feel like one feeds off the other, so it might not feel like it has a direct connection, but ultimately.
But ultimately it does. Yeah, that's right.
That's a good one. I'm trying to think. I'm like, I have so many questions for everybody. I guess I'm like, a part of me is really curious to know how they navigate. This is such a strange question because we're literally doing it right now, but promotion.
Mm.
Because I think so much, we were talking about this last night a little bit, but like the second life of a project is in the promo. So it's like you tell the story, but then also like, what story are you telling after you've filmed it? And I'm really curious to know about, I wish people talked about impress, what their journey has been like trying to further the message that they signed up for in the first place.
That's a great one. You're definitely going to see that pop up in other interviews. I want to squeeze in a couple of broader questions before we get to Genius Full Force, but that is making me think of something now. I know you're just starting your press journey with the show, but is there anything that you've done thus far, just in terms of like answering questions or even reminiscing on the experience of making it that I guess has made you appreciate a part of the process more than when you were physically there? Because it is like what you said, where every step of the way, including press, the experience and the content takes on new life. So has anything about the show taken on new life in recent weeks for you?
Well, it's so new.
Yeah.
It's literally, it's like it's a day old. It's today.
That's right. I mean, I'm not sure if this is directly answering your question, but I think something that, you know, grew and developed and evolved during the show, which is just at a wonderful place, even more so than it was then, is all of our friendships. Mm. It's throughout the duration of that filming process, it was a family environment and it was family relationships, and that has only continued to develop and grow and build. You know, this is one of my dearest friends now. You know what I mean? And I think that is something that is really important to share. You know,
filmmaking families make me so happy,
because it's not a given, right? It's not a given necessarily. So when it comes about, mm-hmm. it's about being grateful and identifying it and appreciating it. Yeah. I think
mm-hmm. it's not a given, and also, you know, it's work that you all do, but you give a significant amount of like yourself and your time to these projects, and being surrounded by a community like that, I have to imagine, makes it like a much more fulfilling process to experience and dedicate your life to.
Yeah. And just to piggyback on what he said too, one of the things that has been so rewarding for me from doing the show was like to step into those leadership roles as these characters or those real people. It's kind of challenged us in such a real way that now it's taken a second life in us. You know what I mean? We have new tools. We have new conversations. We're watching each and every one of us grow in our own ways and stepping into our own power and our own just our own leadership roles in everyday life and our careers. And so that's been really
We were empowering. Literally on FaceTime speaking about yes. what Kelvin's speaking on right now, maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, that gives me a good transition to our official Filmio question of the interview, because I love the idea of finding your power, finding your voice on set. And that's what they're all about, putting the power in the hands of the creator. So can you each recall a time on a past set when someone put the creative power in your hands, maybe during a time when you didn't expect to have it, even though you deserved it?
Okay.
Oh, whoa. I feel like that happens more often than not, strangely.
I love hearing that.
And it's really exciting, but it's very scary, you know? Like, I think the first time was working with Trey on Waves. And there were so many opportunities for him to be like, Trey loves to say, follow your heart. And so it was like, I was like, follow my heart, but under what parameters? You know what I mean? Like, how far can I follow my heart? You know what I mean? It's a big heart. but it's such a rewarding thing, because I think such an important part of the process for an artist is to get to a place where we feel uninhibited. You know what I mean? And that's where the real truth and the real creativity kind of flows through. But you just step up and you kind of go, this is where my instincts are leading me. This is what I feel is my truth or the character's truth in this moment. And if you want to support me and set up the camera around it, then we'll go for it. And he always did that. And I think that's where some of the best magic happens.
It's another movie. I always love an excuse to bring up Waves.
Listen, me too.
Me three.
Oh. I bet for you, Aaron.
For me, you know, similar to what Cal said, there have been many moments where like that has happened, and I've been very grateful for that. I think one that stands out to me the most is working on Brother. Clement has, I don't know how he does it. I don't know where he learned it or if he was just born with that communication capacity and skill, but he allows the people he's working with to just have a feeling of liberation and freedom. And he'll come up to you before a take, and he'll really, you know, Clement, he speaks very sort of measured, and he'll come up to you and he'll just say, "We're ready when you are." And then he'll go and he won't even say action. He'll just, when you start moving, the cameras start moving. And it's like, it's magical. And it's like such a gift to have a filmmaker trust you like that. You know, it's like, thank you, you know?
I've been hearing a lot about directors who don't say action and cut lately. Every process is valid. Every process is different.
Most definitely.
But there's
Most definitely.
Like the creative possibilities seem endless when someone runs a set that way.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing with Clement is like he is one of the most talented writers I know, and in the same breath he'll let you improvise around his work as well, you know, and that's another gift, you know. So all good things. Yeah.
I love it. All right, jumping into genius now. So I feel like this might be too prescribed and not necessarily the way you approach these roles, but when you are playing Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, what is the very first part of them that you find? The first thing you tap into that signals that you're on the right path? But then I also want to know the last piece of them that you found in your performance, the thing that made you think, I have a full version of this person.
Oof, that's a good one. It's so
You want to go? I think I'm going to try to answer this question. It's such a great question. I think the first place I begin is, or I personally began, was I was seeking out sources of information which I subjectively felt were closest to being from himself, or those that were closest to him. So the first place I went was his autobiography, which was, I think, written by Alex Haley, because that was Malcolm himself. And I think the second place I went to after that point was the documentary about Malcolm X, which was guided by Dr. Betty Shabazz. So that's just an example of how my approach was into beginning to get insight into this tremendous, great man, you know. And then from there, you know, many sort of live videos and footage, you know, guided me also.
How about for you, Kelvin?
I think, strangely enough, I started with watching interviews because I just wanted to see, like, you know, I was trying to look up, was he ever on talk shows? And I was just kind of like, you know, people are really funny on talk shows because they start to put on the persona that they want to come across. And then there's always that awkward moment of like when you have to like reflect on an answer you gave, and then you kind of get like these little glimpses of like their actual selves and their like insecurities and their wheels turning, especially when you're talking about like really intellectual, heady people, you know. And so I was like, kind of went there, and then I was like, okay, now I should go to the autobiography. And then I started reading his books. But it's interesting too when people write their books, because they really want, they also really, these are the things they want you to know. And I was like, what does he want me to know about him? And I'm going to take that, and then I have to investigate that. And then later on, it was just like, well, now I want to hear what Coretta has to say, and I want to hear what the dad has to say, and I want to see what all the people closest to him have to say about him as well. Because those things are important. And then, and then the last piece was just like, kind of like, you know, let it go. Mm-hmm. And just kind of let it flow and just see what it is. And, you know, yeah.
And you'll never, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I feel like you share the same view. It's like you'll never finish your final scene of a project and be like, I explored this to the full capacity. You can always do more. You can always do more. And that's the mindset, I think, that is really important, because that keeps you searching until the very last day.
100%. You know?
Speaking about doing more, in a sense, so you two are obviously playing icons here, icons who have been played by many actors before. do you have the opportunity on this set to, you know, kind of make this version of them your own to a degree? And if you do, what is that personal flair you wanted to add to this performance?
Mm. I think it's, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still getting a script, right? And I still have words that have been, that are inspired by beautifully and talented writers that they've collaborated with, these historians, and done so much research. And on top of my research, I'm looking at it and I'm kind of like, well, my job is still to tell, to make this, to propel the scene forward and to tell the story that is on the page. So I have to take what I know and the research that I have of, and my idea of this person, and then try to physicalize it to some extent. And, you know, I took the things that resonated the most with me, which was he has this humor about him. He's really funny, or at least he thinks he's really funny. And because he what I loved about the interviews too, he laughs at his own jokes. And I was like, I'm really doubling down on that. Anytime I think I'm making a funny, I'm going to laugh first. You know what I mean? And I was like, these are the things that bring a lot of charm and charisma, and that the things that we can relate to. This is what makes him a person to me. You know, he will always be this brilliant mind and this incredible orator and this philosopher and this man of God. But what's he like when he's tickled at his own jokes? You know, those are the things that make me happy.
Yeah, just to follow on from that, I think largely I was just guided by Malcolm's immeasurable amount of centered energy he has. And I was really guided by that. You know, it can be a lot when you're, you know, going through a filming process and you're a month in, you have 5 months remaining. You know, it's on you, you know, long days, long nights, turnarounds, you know, I think a lot of the time I would rely on Malcolm's grounding, Malcolm's centered nature to guide me through that in a way that protected my well-being, you know, and kept me focused on the goal and the objective at hand.
What a beautiful way to describe that. All right, continuing our journey, now we have to touch on upcoming projects. And the fact that you two are sitting here together gives me a perfect excuse to ask about Mufasa. I mean, that's great. That made it really easy to ask a sensible upcoming project question. Calvin, I'll throw my first one on that to you, because I was reading somewhere that you said you really put a lot of effort into your Scar audition because you really, really wanted that role. What do you do that's different when you really, really want a role like that compared to, you know, one where maybe that fire isn't burning as hot?
Well, typically if I'm not really that excited about it, I'll learn the lines and I'll do a version of it that won't get me dropped by my agents and manager. And then they'll be like, you know, that was good, but I just don't think this is right for you. And I'm like, really? That bummer. But when you really want it, you get on all fours like a lion. And you find your voice. And literally, I was sitting there with my friend, and she had I did a voice. I don't know if you had to do the same thing, but I just did it on voice notes. And she followed me around the apartment. I was filming Elvis. And I was in the middle of trying to shake off B.B. King, but I was trying to find Scar, and he was in there somewhere. And I ran around the apartment. And I did this big scene, this climactic scene in the movie. And listen, clearly I tore it up, because here I am.
So that's gonna be a bonus feature that we'll get to see eventually, right?
Oh my, listen, if we're lucky.
I have a whole different question for you now. It kind of leans into what we were talking about with genius too, because in this particular case, you obviously want to do the iconic James Earl Jones work justice in your performance, but this is your opportunity to play this role. So what is something unique to you that we'll be able to hear in this voice work?
I think, first and foremost, I want to acknowledge that James Earl Jones is an enormous inspiration of mine, massively. I feel very honored to be, you know, walking into this role, you know, after him. And I think the key difference will be that here, you know, we're exploring Mufasa in a different capacity. I think, you know, when Sir James Earl Jones portrayed him, this is Mufasa in his full capacity, in his rhythm. And I think here we're exploring Mufasa prior to that point. What does this young lion look like before he is who we know him as, and he is discovering his rhythm, how he conducts himself, how he engages with his community and his loved ones, you know. So I think that's the key thing. It's figuring it out.
All right, I get to ask one last question before I send you on your way. I love hearing and seeing people's reactions to this question because nobody likes it, and I don't care. In this business, we give each other awards. It's award season right now. That's super cool. Nobody says good job to themselves nearly enough. I want you both to tell me something you accomplished while making Genius that you know you could look back on and say to yourself, damn, I am proud of what I did there.
Well, that's so cool, actually. I like how you phrased it and opened it up because it makes it a lot less awkward to say it, because that's a real thing. Like, it's good to be proud of the work you've done. Otherwise, like, why are you beating yourself up all the time?
It's vital. Yeah. How can a person feel whole without being able to recognize that
artists,
in themselves?
Also, if you're sharing, we also still need to feel that we're being appreciated. Because if you're putting a piece of yourself in these roles every single time, that's a lot. You know, and you want to know people or, you know, see it. And also, we should be able to see ourselves. But I will say I love the relationship that Ruruche, who plays Coretta, and I built for Martin and Coretta. It's so beautiful and so pure. And there's something very just youthful about it. Because what we forget is that these people met when they were like 20, 21, 22. Like, they were married at 24. I mean, I think they had their first kid at 24. So it's like, that's such a – I'm 29 right now. And to think that, like, you know, I don't know. I really love that it feels so relatable and something that – so many people can look at and kind of go, wait, they flirt the same. You know what I mean? They look at each other the way we look at each other. You know, that's cool. So I'm proud of that dynamic I built with her.
Likewise, I have exactly the same answer. I'm deeply, deeply grateful to Jamie Lawson. She is a gift. She is magnificent. And she truly embodies Dr. Betty Shabazz in a way that I don't think no other would have been able to. And I'm grateful for her holding me, for supporting me, and also for the friendship that we've developed and built. You know, that's the homie, most definitely.
Beautiful answers. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for your time today and being the very first 2-on-1 version of Collider Forces.
Let's go.
We'll always be a big, big fan. Congratulations on season 4 of Genius. Congratulations on everything you've accomplished. I can't wait to see more in the future.
Yes, ma'am.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.